Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon, depending on where you are. We are broadcasting 1 hour earlier. If you're over in Europe, that's because of the dumb daylight savings hour. The U.S. is going forward about 2 weeks earlier, I think. But finally, they did introduce a bill to get rid of that. I think all countries should get rid of that because it gets way too confusing and you lose that hour. You lose, you don't lose daylight, but it feels like, what the hell's going on? I lost an hour. This is bullshit. Anyway, hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us. Red Ass TV, I'm Henrik. Lana's over there.
Yeah, it throws me off too. It's like, oh, it's just an hour. But it's like, I don't know. It's all weird in the beginning. So isn't it? It's so superficial, though. They could just do away with it with a law. Paperwork, right?
It tells you. Yeah, that's how it came in to begin with, wasn't it? It was like... obviously, I get it, right? That's something with farmers or something. But you don't. Why do you have to?
They don't care.
I'm trying to figure it out.
It gets
darker sooner in autumn and towards winter, then, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does it matter if the sun goes? If at least if you're like in the northern hemisphere, then it's like, you know, I mean, I'm used to Swedish times here now, but like it gets light at 8 a.m. as opposed to 9 a.m. or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. What's the big difference? But anyway, all right, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about Saint Zelensky. He's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that great?
Gosh, and racism and trannies and war and disease and the Great Reset. It just keeps
coming
at
up.
You. I'm just waiting to line up fake alien invasion on this list of topics.
Just wait. You know, the big, it's going
to
be...
The mothership has arrived. You know, we all need to bend over, get anally probed, and get on board with the bugs and the pods, and, you know.
Well, where things are going with this establishment, we're already getting anally probed.
Yeah, but, pretty much.
You know, that's a different story. All right, boys and girls, a couple of different formalities here before we begin. Check out Lana's latest video up on redassmembers.com right now. The dark
Definitely
and perverted roots of
Man,
gender ideology.
There is some sick S-H-I-T behind this whole gender ideology movement, and some of the intellectuals behind it have a very sick, sick past.
Yep.
So you have to see this one.
Yep, check that one out.
A lot of people don't know this.
Yep, exclusive up in the member section. Sign up, help us out if you want to join us today on this super chats. If you want to give us shit or praise or just make a comment.
Hey, we need some positive, encouraging, uplifting, hopeful words. How about sending those in the super chats? And of course, okay. We do right. Need the support right now.
Entertainment.live/RedEyesTV. That's one way. I keep an eye on Odyssey as well. That does work. And then Rumble as well. They have super chats over there too. I know some people have said they have issues with entropy sometimes. So there are options. But okay, boys and girls, a lot to get into. I just want to say thank you to
a couple shout-outs,
yeah. Michael as well for the very
you
nice...
You got to say his screen name.
Yeah, Michael57DE.
So cool.
Thank you, man. We did receive those for the boys. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And you had something else?
Yeah, and there was also from at the same time... And by the way, those coins, Michael, came in on my son's birthday. So that was a good timing
by the time it reached
me.
Yep.
And also Ross from New Zealand, he says, keep up the good fight. 2022 is a year for ideas that time has come. Yes. And
like,
he also sent
not doing daylight savings time.
Sent a silver coin. And then I've been meaning to give a shout out to Shane because you asked for a shout out. You sent a very nice letter about my latest girlfriend. How many do you have, man? My latest girlfriend, who was very liberal blue pill, likes to look over my shoulder as I pursue the internet every morning. And so he kind of tells a story of how she's switched sides and he wanted a little shout out. So thank you for that nice little handwritten letter. Nice handwriting. Mine's horrible because I hardly write anymore.
Was that the envelope where it looked like it was traced?
No, some people have very artistic,
it's like, holy shit,
nice handwriting.
That's like,
my dad has really nice handwriting.
Very rigid. impressive.
You have pretty good handwriting. It's not chicken scratch. Chicken scratch, you know?
Yeah, if I don't just rush, you know, then it's not bad. But you know.
Which, you're always rushing.
Well, what the hell, you know?
Got to produce.
So I was late in case. So what are you going to do? All right. All right, should we...
Billy Biz. Can you imagine if our own border was given as much attention as Ukraine's? Yes. I hate to see a brother war there, but can't help feeling like we're being played, especially when I hear the same talking points from media, politicians, institutions, and all the usual suspects. Exactly. I feel the same.
Yeah. Ukraine has all the right supporters, right? And therefore, you know, because they have all the right supporters... it's easy to be immediately kind of against whatever the latest thing is that's being pushed. Usually that is a good kind of benchmark, whatever you want to call it, but it's not always, you know, always true. there's things I support about, obviously, about Ukraine, and Ukrainians especially, they're being used right now. So it's not always that easy. You know, it's like, yeah, go, you know, we'll have some stuff on Putin. You know, he says good things, and then he says some, like, really cringe bad stuff as well. So we have, like, it's a spectrum. You're never going to get, like, everything you want with some leader or whatever. It's like, no way.
Basically,
like, Putin is not, by far, not ideal, you know?
They're victims of the Great Reset. It's really not about Ukraine.
No, exactly. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later here, right? But
So this goody.
Yes.
You know, everything is racist because Europeans have invented or discovered most things we use every day, whether people acknowledge that or not. The latest racist thing is the steam engine. Yes, the world's first machine that ultimately enabled everything the world uses today in terms of technology, and that's made our lives easier, is racist and triggering because of its colonial roots. So before I get into this latest attack, I just want to show this quick little video on steam engines so you can see how amazing they used to look.
Okay.
If you were steam, you'd have an inferiority complex. Because once upon a time, steam was a much bigger deal than it is today. There was a time when steam was king. It powered electricity and trains. It was amazing. I mean, now steam has been demoted to heating milk for a latte or to get wrinkles out of clothes. Well, steam may not be king anymore, but here at the Henry Ford,
that is
at
an
least
amazing
like
baseline right there.
Or a vice president.
All right, get to it, man.
These beautiful works of craftsmanship are wonderful to look at, but they also tell a story, a very important story. These are steam engines. These amazing giants of iron and steel helped launch us into the industrial age. In fact, steam engines generated power.
It was like a Gothic cathedral.
I want that in our house for like a piece of art.
Like most far-reaching innovations, steam engines were created to solve a distinct problem.
Thank you, white man.
In this case, coal mines that were flooded with water. The Henry Ford's Mark Gruther showed me the oldest, most complete surviving steam engine, dating back to 1760. There are so many treasures in this museum that I knew about before. I didn't know a lot about this one, but it's a really big deal.
Yeah, it's a big thing. This was a fixture in the community. It actually had an affectionate name. The locals called it Fairbottom Bob's.
1760, not bad.
Fairbottom Bob's, Fairbottom Valley, and Bob's, because I guess of the movement. So essentially, we've got a boiler. We've got a large mechanism for using the steam from that boiler. We've got pumps going on down into the mine that was the installation for this engine.
This was to get water out of mines.
Out of mines. Deeper you dig, more water that gets in there.
Fairbottom Bob's worked by heating water inside the boiler, creating steam, which was transferred to a cylinder with a piston inside. The pressure inside the cylinder drove the piston up and down, forcing a connected beam up and down, and causing a bucket on the other end of the beam to rise out of the mine shaft filled with water. So this is connected to this.
Absolutely. Via that beam, via these chains. So this is why the engines were built in the first place. This is the pump. This would go down into the mine originally. This is the pump that would pump the water out of the mine. These technologies, these overgrown water pumps, are the beginning of the world that we inhabit now. But at the time, no one has a clue they're really changing what we then now understand as the Industrial Revolution.
Steam-powered technology grew exponentially into different kinds of mechanical devices, creating whole new industries and jobs. This one looks sleeker, a little more efficient.
This was an engine designed by James Watt.
And Watt is what a light bulb has, many of them.
That's true. His name is used for that unit. And generally speaking, James Watt is sort of recognized by most
people. He stole it from the mines of slaves.
As the inventor of the steam engine.
Not only did Watt
he developed
the concept of horsepower. No wonder the standard unit of power, the Watt, is named after him.
Watt takes it to the next level. He, in fact, designs engines that start to make sense outside of mines, that start to make sense to drive machinery. This is where the Industrial Revolution really starts to snowball.
Once James Watt got the Industrial Revolution going, there was no turning back, and many steam engine innovations followed. Lucky for us, Henry Ford loved steam power and collected for his museum many steam engines, including this one. I think it's an espresso machine.
Good man, good man. Okay, so
what was that book he wrote again, Henry Ford?
Oh, yes. What was that book?
Yeah, I can't remember the title now, but I think it was also racist.
Yes. Yeah. So a replica of this first steam-powered locomotive in Wales, it's in a museum, is set to be relabeled with a warning by the National Museum of Wales to basically say that the invention of steam train technology is rooted in colonialism and racism and basically was only made possible, this is what they're getting at, because of African slaves, which of course is a bald-faced lie. The Cornish inventor was Mr. Trevithick. He had no link to slavery. In fact, there were several guys leading up to this technology who had a part in it, had no links to slavery. And the white men that helped make this technology possible did not need African slaves to do it, right? White people were just trying to survive before technology made things easier for us, right? We weren't just thinking about, oh, let's oppress blacks all the time. This is how they make it sound. However, the Wales Museum issued a statement trying to save their lying ass by saying, although there might not be direct links between the Trevithick locomotive and the slave trade, we acknowledge the reality that links to slavery are woven into the warp and theft of Welsh society. Well, blacks didn't build Welsh society. Europeans and, yes, probably white slaves and mostly child factory workers did before this technology came out. The National Waterfront Museum said said the steam engine would be subject to the Charter for Decolonizing Audit.
There you go.
So they want to identify collections linked to colonial aggression and the transatlantic slave trade, including technology, to cancel it. And Henrik, you and I have been talking about this, but good luck canceling the Industrial Revolution and banning all the technology that came from it, including the steam engine, right?
Well, they're getting there. I mean, this is the very point, right? They want to deindustrialize. They want to basically take us back to the Stone Age. That's what this is about, the Great Reset, Absolute Zero. These documents, we've talked about them over and over, and you know, but it bears repeating, like, that's where we're heading. You think this oil and gas, the crisis with Russia is like, it's completely in line with what they wanted to do for a long time now. They haven't been able to pull it off. Agenda 2030, you're supposed to live in big cities in a pod, you know, being fed intravenous bug protein with the VR headset on, basically. That's what they want. And of course, they have to deindustrialize the West for them to achieve that. And if you can wrap this in the package of racism,
exactly,
you'll have a large segment of lunatic leftists that will die.
I won't use this.
Grovel at their feet to go along with this.
Yeah, but you know, a couple things here. I've said in my video before how to decolonize your life and be free of the white men. Well, just stop using all the technology. Just stop using it all.
Yep.
And then where are you going to be? You're going to be in a mud hut. You're not even going to be able to implement this new third industrial revolution that they want, right? They'll kvetch, but they're never actually going to give up all these comforts, right?
No,
they're not going to.
Of course not.
But all these machines now, they have to be canceled because, you know, white racists made them. But let's bring on this third industrial revolution to facilitate total tyranny against white people and really eventually the whole world. So yes, they're using racism as an excuse to bring in this great reset, to bring us to point zero, which is basically to death.
Yeah, I mean, basically, what we're talking about is this right here. This is what we're doing right now. This is Western civilization right here, and everything. Excuse me. That's at the base, at the root of the branch that we're sitting off on. They want to do away with, right? Like everything that preceded. That's the word. Everything that preceded the technology that we have now, we need to attack as racist and big. If there's, you know, white people behind it, obviously. If it's not, that's why they reinvent certain things. Like, wait, can we do away with the light bulb? No, not yet. Okay, well, it was actually invented by a black man, right? So it's okay.
Rewriting it, exactly.
Yeah, right?
And so that's why they're doing also with, well, slaves were linked to it, so we have to just have like a disclaimer and a trigger warning before you use this train. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I know. You might feel bad going on this train here or something.
I mean, God. And it's like, before the steam engine, by the way, we relied on, you know, wind and water for power and steam factories. Steam allowed for factories to be located basically anywhere, right? And so this facilitated great expansion. You had pumps, you had power looms for textiles, we had trains, we had transportation. Like, it changed the world. And everyone has profited from that. So this is just insane.
I love the framing of this, too, that the machine just kind of showed. Eventually, it just dawned in human civilization. It's not like, well, someone did that.
It just came out of a slave
air.
Plantation.
Right, that, too, of course. Yeah, the white man stole the ideas out of the people that they had enslaved. Because, Europeans were, I mean, especially when it comes to the transatlantic slave trade. And, I mean, the UK's weaved into that now because, like, Jamaica, you know, their the Commonwealth, all that stuff, right? But Europeans are a central node point, of course, in the transatlantic slave trade.
Exactly. No other group.
No.
And I love how, too, they insist, okay, I don't know, we're going to move on, but like, this steam engine was created just to suppress a bunch of black people and get slaves. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they make it sound when you read this crap.
Yeah, our very technological advancement was just so we could be racist and oppress other groups. Not for our own benefit or for the fact that we're trying to make life better. And of course, in the process, we've also made life better for countless of now billions of people around the world. But, you know, let's shit on the white man, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Pagan Bear over on Odyssey says, Dan, gotta go. I have to watch the replay. Hail Red Eyes. Yep, it's available. BitChute, VK, Odyssey, Red Eyes TV, all the sites.
Let's see. Jimmy Fallis. Hello, Henrik and Lana. Great to see you. I hope you're doing well. Let's see something positive and hopeful. Monero went up recently.
Oh, did it? I didn't keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I'm not watching Monero, but cool. Awesome.
Good.
Dan Mother. Hello. Hail Red Eyes. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And a Flemish Warrior says, why don't you guys cover more Islamic supremacist news anymore? Their insanity is quite interesting, in my opinion. Really, it's been kind of, not in the focus as much.
I know some of the stuff happening in Sweden with the party, the new party there. Nyans, I think they were called or something, right? The Social Democrats are working with them and all that. It's just a side issue. It is not a side issue, but it has fallen to the side because there's so many issues. That's what I'm trying to say.
We can bring in some Muzzies again.
You want to shit on Muslims again? Yeah, we can do that. I was going to talk about Kadyrov, or what's his name again? The Chechen, right? But I think we'll say that for Weekend Warrior. This is kind of a different take on things, but all right.
One more. Jimmy Fallis, okay. Now for some pessimism. Great. So soon in the show. Germany just passed a law to allow the health ministry to make vaccine mandates without going through the Bundestag. So like Congress, they abdicated their power to the executive branch. Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's shit. Absolute shit. Yeah, is that the story there? Yeah, I've got to read up on that a bit more. But yeah, I'm not surprised. There are some countries that are going this way, right? Well, in very important news, check out this. The Crown Act, CROWN, to ban race-based hair discrimination in schools and workplaces. Now, we'll take a look at this video here. This is from 2019, this video. But the reason why we're bringing it up is because there's new people now talking about it in Congress and how they support it. And I believe if it didn't pass, it's slated to pass or something like that. But
the world is dying, and this is what we're talking about.
The most important thing right now, obviously, right? Listen to this here.
Twists and locks should also be my protected right to choose.
Holy Mitchell is fighting so to ban discrimination against natural hair.
I believe that any law, policy, or practice that sanctions a job description that immediately excludes me from a position, not because of my capacity or my capabilities or my experience, but because of my hairstyle choice is wrong.
Literally, this is not happening. You're
LA
a freaking senator.
SB 188. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but she's a senator. How is she being discriminated against for her cornrows or whatever she's got?
I do not know. But it's kind of like the law against lynching. It's like it's already illegal to kill people. Like, what do you want?
Like, literally, no one gives your hair.
There's
your
no law
hair.
Against lynching.
Your hair. It's not that special. Get over it. You know,
I've heard far too many reports of black children humiliated and sent home from school because their natural hair was deemed unruly or a distraction to others.
Okay.
Are you kidding? They're celebrating it in like every corporate America ad. It's a frizzy fro hair girl. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. You've all seen it. Anyway, they keep trying to own the braids and all this stuff, too. And by the way, European hair, a.k.a. white girl hair, is made for braids, okay? Like, I love this girl's channel. I just can't do a lot of these braids. I need help to do it because they're so hard. But she does these incredible braids, and some of it reminds me of kind of like, European tribal hair, like how women used to do their hair. It's amazing.
Wasn't this the woman who did like the Swabian knot and like
these
kinds of things?
Yeah, she did that,
like,
and she did like this really cool mohawk braid and these amazing things that you can only get with, you know, our kind of hair. You know, sure, some Asians.
If you use black chemicals
girls don't own braids.
Developed by white man, I think you can do
straighten
it mostly
out.
Any hair. So here's Cori Bush, and notice who introduces this as well. By the way, Cori Bush, right? She's what is she? A congresswoman or something. I forget what she is. Talking about this crown act here, that was she's how supportive she is on this. Listen to this.
Mr. Nadler is recognized.
Madam Speaker, Nadler. I now yield 2 minutes to the distinguished gentlelady from Missouri, a member of the Judiciary Committee, Ms. Bush.
That's the penguin right there. Not her. I'm talking about him.
Gentlelady from Missouri is recognized for 2 minutes.
Madam Speaker, St. Louis and I rise today in support of the Crown Act. As a black woman who loves my braids, I know what it's like to feel isolated because of how I wear my hair.
That's not happening.
This is the last time say no more to black people being demeaned and discriminated against for the same hairstyles that corporations profit from. No more to black people being made to feel like we have to cut our locks just to get a job. This is last time we say no more to black people being made to feel like we have to straighten our hair to be deemed professional. No more to black children being suspended from school because their hair doesn't align with their school's dress code. This is actually a thing, and we are American, and we stand up and we say no more for the last time. We are
American.
Look at
the guy on the right. Is his
black
mouth
hair
open.
Is not to be policed. I commend my colleagues for their work.
What is going on?
The Crown Act, and I urge my colleagues to support it. Thank you, and I yield back.
This is all in your mind. This is crazy. And look, it's all these black women. They're like, preach, preach. Like, you're at the White House. No one cares.
Could it be
no
that
judging you?
Could you, in the extension, could you have something where white people or maybe white women, girls then would be maybe not arrested, but like fined or something if they used the wrong hair?
Like what if they have cornrows? No, respectable white woman wants cornrows.
I think she commented on this here too about the how we might burden employers. Listen to this here.
There are those who in opposition who believe that the bill will result in frivolous claims that will burden employers.
Yeah.
Or that the bill will prevent employers from requiring the wearing of hair nets or other protective hair covering. Colleagues, that is not the truth.
Okay, well, now all I see is another.
Can you say why it wouldn't be a problem for employees?
Employers,
right? I should say, yeah.
All I see is another avenue for them to sue because of mud discrimination.
Yep.
You don't like muh fro or muh braids.
Racism.
Celebrated literally everywhere. That's all we see.
So that's, the experience of a lot of black people. Meanwhile, this is how it is to be white, right? Massachusetts University sued after asking applicant to defend her whiteness during interview. Now, of course, they were sued, which is good. They should be. But the point is, they're so, what's the word I'm looking for? They're so brave in their way that they go after white people and whiteness now. They're just like,
defend your white skin. Why do you have white skin? Why should you live? That's what basically what it is.
A university in Massachusetts is being sued after asking an applicant for a one-year assistant professorship, to, quote, defend her whiteness in the interview. The applicant, Donna Johnston, apparently didn't get a good enough answer and therefore didn't get the job. A white applicant, one of three open positions for the School of Social Work to defend her whiteness in the job university. The university said she missed the target in answering how she would overcome her white privilege.
Oh, man. Okay. See, nothing's good enough.
All right. Anyways.
Let me get caught up here.
Yeah.
The whiteness, the inquisition on whiteness, you know. Defend your existence. Dog Whistler, happy Freya's Day. Glad you started the stream later. I missed you last week. All right. Five minutes late.
We started actually earlier last week.
Oh, last week.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Jimmy Fallis, white girl braids truly can be pretty awesome. Yep. Yulia Tymoshenko had an awesome hairdo back in the day.
I was just looking at photos of her because I was trying to figure out and reading articles and looking like what was the deal with this woman? I'm trying to parse her, place her in the hierarchy of all the CIA, Pentagon, DOD, gay op, State Department chain, and I think she was kind of part of that. I remember they wheeled her out at some point. Her braid was great, don't get me wrong, but I think she was being used like so many other Ukrainians, unfortunately, right now.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I could be wrong. Maybe there were some good things about her, but that's kind of the initial impression I got.
Well, I need to go look up her hairdo now. Cuck-free zone, braids, yes. Cornrows, no way, lol. Cuck-free zone, Hail Henrik and Lana, thanks again for your awesome work. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Jimmy Fallis, Corn Pop had some bad cornrows.
I forgot about Corn Pop. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
How did that happen?
That's horrible. I think that's what you call a wigger. A wigger. That's what we used to call them growing up.
Now we're in the vicinity here, right? Aren't we in the vicinity here now? Why don't we talk about Jussie here, Jussie Smollett, because we didn't do this yet. So it ended up, of course, that he was sentenced to, I believe, 30 months in jail at first. Now, this circus happened during when he actually was handed his sentence. Listen to this here. Some of you might have seen this, but it's kind of funny.
It would be provided for your charge. Do you have any questions?
This is after he received the sentence.
I'd just like to say to Your Honor that I am not suicidal. That's what I was about to say.
Okay.
I am not suicidal.
Okay.
Put your mask on. You're giving us COVID.
Suicidal. I am innocent, and I am not suicidal.
No, you're not innocent.
If I did this, then it means that I stuck my fist in the fears of Black Americans in this country for over 400 years, and the fears of the LGBT
please.
Community. Your Honor, I respect you,
and
I respect the jury, but I did not do this. And I am not suicidal. And if anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself. And you must all know that.
Always the victim, huh?
I respect you, Your Honor. I respect your decision. Jail time. I am not suicidal.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so anyway, you get the idea. That's the circus that he started there, right? And that, oh, this is, by the way, when he walked away as well. Let's take a look at this.
All right, defendants remanded to the custody sheriff. Court is adjourned.
I am not suicidal.
Stop laughing about Black people.
I'm sorry. 150 days. What is that? That's certainly, is that 30 months? Is the math right?
No, it's like 5 months.
Chat to, is it 6 months or something? Is that it? Okay, sorry. 30 months. That's not remotely right.
I'm not suicidal. And I am innocent. I could have said that I was guilty a long time ago.
So the interesting thing, I actually listened to the judge going back to the prior clip there. This guy right here behind the, do they zoom in on that guy? No, they just show Smollett there. He's the guy up here, right up in the corner there. And he was going, it was amazing to hear this guy because he was going on about how this, what Smollett did, was hurting Black Americans, and he was hurting. Now people are going to be afraid to come out if something has happened to them, and all this, like the whole crime, the premise of the whole thing, why he did this to begin with, was so that it will reflect negatively and badly on white people. And no, I mean, you can drill down in that, and say just, you know, Trump supporters, conservatives, you know, stuff like that. But he didn't get this whatsoever. Like, this was clearly done because he thought he could get to an entire class of people,
of
right?
Course.
That's why he did this. Yeah. And not a word from this judge about that. But so anyway.
Are you surprised, though?
No, I'm really not. Like a Chicago, right? So he's going to go to Cook County, and it's like, oh, my God, it's a hard prison. What the hell's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah.
Some blacks will give him high fives. That's what's going to happen.
You know, so basically, so he was released after 6 days. He was released. 6 days of a 150-day sentence. And let's take a look at this clip, and I'm still not sure why, actually. I don't even think the clip...
maybe he had bent over for a few people in prison, huh?
Or maybe kind of outside of the prison system.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, look.
We're continuing to follow breaking news tonight. Jussie Smollett is out of jail after 6 days behind bars. A court granted bond as he appeals his conviction for lying about a fake hate crime. Smollett didn't speak...
Okay, I'm sorry. So he was right there. How is this? How can you be released? You were sentenced, and you decided to appeal, and then you pay bond, and it turns out that there was zero. He didn't pay anything for that, by the way, and he's just released out. This doesn't make sense whatsoever.
No.
He should still be in there, right?
Yeah.
To reporters as he walked past the cameras.
And WGN's Brona Tumulty is live from Cook County Jail with the very latest tonight.
Waiting for that new trial or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Good evening, guys. In a dramatic turn of events, and after just six...
I think, this was during St. Patrick's Day here. That's why this reporter...
Nights behind bars. Jussie Smollett is a free man tonight, at least for right now. An appeals court ordering his release pending appeal of his conviction. The condition of that release was that he had to post a personal recognizance bond of $150,000, which required exactly $0 down. He left Cook County Jail this evening around 8 p.m. without saying a word.
Maybe Kamala Harris helped him out, right?
Jussie, do you have any comment about
how does it feel to be free? Can you tell us what the past week has been like?
Jesse, can you give any comment at all? This is the moment Jesse Smollett...
Jesse, how much head did you give?
I was just going to say, how many dicks did you know what?
Walked out of jail months ahead of when he was expected to. Flanked by security, he refused to make any comment, hopping into a waiting SUV, which sped off. But moments later, his defense team spoke out, describing the moment Smollett learned he'd be leaving Cook County Jail after just 6 days inside.
He pushed his hands on the glass and his eyes got teary, and I've never seen that because he's been very strong in there.
Oh, poor thing.
And he said, I nearly lost hope in our constitutional system.
Oh my God. This whole thing is just...
He
you
just
did
tried
it
to smear
to yourself. You lied and you got caught, and now you're trying to play my victim and my tears, and this is all bullshit.
Ironically, to prove the point of how racist America is, you couldn't find a real case. You had to make one up. And in the extension, the reason you got caught is because there's, in fact, not discrimination against you. There's an over... what's the word I'm looking for here? Like... The way that the police, the manpower, the time, the effort, the resources that was
to
poured into
the racists,
this case,
that hurt him.
To figure this out. Because again, it's not race. It's not just a case of, whatever. It's not the most important thing right now. No, he's a high profile. He's an actor. He's known. He's, oh my God, but America.
I didn't know
was,
him before
you
this.
Know, blah, blah, neither did I, but you know, that came out after. But all of it basically proves like how not race, like it completely contradictory to what he tried to prove. That's what's so ironic about it. But anyways, someone made the point like, why in the world was Jesse let out? What in the world kind of connections?
Exactly. Lars Agerbeck says in the chat, did Kamala Harris try to get some bill approved in connection with this case? Exactly. I think he has friends. Right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happens, folks.
Yep, that's right. That's pretty crazy. But anyway, there he is, of course, with Michael and Barack Hussein Obama and some other people there, you know, Democrat operatives down there. What are they? I forget the name. Doesn't she? She kind of have bottom right there. Doesn't she kind of have the Timoshenko break?
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Isn't that what that is right there? It's funny because they made it look like the kind of the wheat, like the wheat, what is that called? The bread when you cook. I guess you braid the bread too, right? Isn't that what it's called? Is there a specific name for it?
Yeah. JP says, did you see the entire press conference held by Smollett's attorneys after he was released?
I did not. Not yet.
They surely surpassed their masters in the art of kvetching. Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Is there more here? Should we listen to... Let me see if there's... Let's listen a little bit more.
He did say that. And that was his reaction. He was shocked. I think he had nearly given up.
Smollett was sentenced last Thursday following conviction in December on
five. He's acting like he was sentenced to death or something.
I know. We don't have to go through that. Let's listen here.
Tonight, they argued Smollett paid $10,000 and did community service when he was initially charged in this case.
Great shot there,
adding he's eaten nothing during his stint in jail, only drinking iced water the last 6 days. Ooh. And they also spoke of the next steps in the case.
Right now, he's out. We're waiting for further ruling from the appellate court, and we're going to, of course, begin a normal appeal.
This guy's like straight from Africa.
What we did initially was an emergency appeal, and now we're going to start...
Enough already.
I know. I've had enough, too.
I just want to see if there's any layers of... Oh, it's funny to watch the question.
Enough of this... Rump humper. I've had enough.
There you go. Well, another amazing thing happened. Stacey Abrams made...
Do you guys remember her? She's the annoying Georgian politician who's running for governor.
The other Georgia.
She had a horrid cameo in this latest episode of Star Trek Discovery, which I'm not watching. She appeared as the president of, United Earth. Because she's a Star Trek fan, and the gay female producer of the series was thrilled about having her on. We have a little clip of her amazing appearance.
We greet the president of United Earth.
I'm already laughing.
Nice.
Madam President.
Madam
President, welcome. I am so pleased that you've come.
She's United Earth, folks.
Yep.
Discussions. Nothing to discuss.
We did it. We removed the white man finally.
Ready right now to rejoin the Federation.
Horrible acting.
Make me happier than to say those words. Thank you. Thank you all. What you have accomplished here.
This is horrible.
We're lucky to have each other, ma'am. We couldn't have succeeded otherwise. I'm glad to see you've recovered.
Yes. I haven't had that close a call in quite a while.
I would consider it a personal favor if that were your last close call.
Oh my God, this is so cringe.
Captain, may I have a word?
It's like watching a train wreck.
Are there any white men in that shot? I think there's a bunch of aliens. And then
there's aliens and women and black women and this thing here.
Well, I mean, this is the future they want, though, right? It's Kangs in space. Right?
A united.
No whites. That steam engine connection that we made earlier. It's like, nope, we've severed that tree branch for sure.
President of United Earth. I mean, this is what a joke. And her acting is this horrible. Like, she can't act. It's horrible. And she just looks ridiculous.
But we do have to recognize, though, that all of these people, from Democrats to anti-whites, they are definitely known for their unifying properties.
Oh,
right?
Isn't that
what they're known
they'll
for?
They'll bring all the aliens from all around together. Cuck Frizon says, I'm sure they will have Star Trek technology without white people. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't even have been possible without the steam engine that started everything.
Yeah,
really.
That's
so
right.
So on that spirit, Cuck Frizon had a couple more here. Have you heard about April 9th being No White Guilt Day? It's a family-friendly holiday with instructions. I saw the Telegram channel. Pretty awesome. And the Telegram and Gab channel for the No White Guilt Day is April 9th is at Folk Advocate. So we'll check it out.
Folk Advocate. Okay, cool.
You know,
Didn't know that.
No White Guilt Day is every day for me.
Yes, it's not one day.
I just don't care. Jimmy Fella says, Star Trek is dead to me. Yeah, it's dead to me too.
Yeah, I mean, I do, like, the old series was actually pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of, like, the Spock and the Hebrew stuff and, you know, what's the creator's name again? God, I can't... Gene Roddenberry, thank you. Yeah, Gene Roddenberry, There's a lot of globo homo, obviously, like things in there. Like, basically, it's like communism in space, and then now it's just totally anti-white.
Except they weren't doing like alien mixing as much, right? There was maybe a couple. It was like,
I can't remember. It's probably got
mostly
more.
They kind of stayed to their own species, right? They weren't mixing as much, at least. But now they're probably getting it all.
I'm sure there's got to be like some race now that's like a product of like a species getting with each other or something like that. But
Spock out with some blue girl or something.
Speaking of problems, right? A lot of problems. We have a lot of problems right now. Amazon is having some problems as well.
This is hilarious.
Turns out that they're temporarily, and notice that temporarily, yeah, like how long, moving employees from its downtown Seattle office due to an increase in violent crime in the area, including shootings and carjackings. Welcome to Seattle.
And prostitution and drugs
and
homeless camps and guess what, Mr. Amazon? You've helped support the politics that have made that possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you helped make that bed and you should frickin' lie in the carjackings and the shootings and the prostitution and the druggies. All of that should be outside your door since you help fund this
stuff. He's not going to suffer from that. Did you see that he dismantled an entire bridge in Holland just to get his massive yacht through the canals?
Oh,
did you see that? Yeah, like crazy shit like
and
that.
And then
like,
he's talking about white privilege.
He's in a hot tub, in a swimming pool, in a larger swimming pool on his yacht. That's this guy now, you know what I mean? He's not going to see any of this. And again, but if you go to Amazon, it's all like buy from black businesses and BLM this and BLM that and like Antifa this, you know, it's all supportive of that. And now it's like, well, guess what? Now it's like you have to move your employees from your own offices because like all the shit that you've been supporting is coming back.
Jimmy Fallows, Amazon moving their workers out of downtown Seattle is racist. Clearly a move by a white male.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, there is more diversity in Seattle now too, but there's just a lot of like crazy Antifa communist types too.
Yep, that is correct. That's correct.
Man, watch. And now we're going to move to Idaho, right?
Yeah, well, there's
we're
some
move
big
to
tech
racist,
companies.
White supremacist Idaho.
I'll talk more about that later. All right, so...
Dennis Frazier, thank you for the kind donation. Thank you. Well, she could not get elected, this is back to the Star Trek one, to a real political office, so she played one on TV. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, it's like Zelensky, right? Now he did act in one, of course, but now he also got to play one in real life, a comedian, right? A clown. Thank you, Dennis. That's very generous of you.
Oh, and one more. Dog Whistler. I remember going to Seattle in 2000 and thought it was one of America's great cities. Yeah, it was gorgeous. Not anymore.
Then,
sad.
Yep.
He says, yeah, I lived there
when
I was younger. And it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was an amazing place.
Yeah.
Unrecognizable now.
Yep, this is
what they do.
This is what anti-white commie gobbledygook does. unfortunately. And neoliberalism, we should recognize that. That's a massive reason here. All right, so here we go, summing up 2020 in two images. Woman of the Year and Female Swimmer of, I guess, the Year as well. I'm not quite right, but you know what I'm saying. Let's break this down here a little bit. I think which one do we begin
with?
Yeah,
just the U.S. Secretary of Health and Tranny, who, by the way, is the perfect picture of health, was awarded a Woman of the Year by USA Today, and she's in this amazing video.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Can I click in that? Wow, my computer is.
Do you know too that he was a pediatrician, I think, and a psychiatry. He was in pediatrics and psychiatry.
Oh, like, was he?
Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go. Now it's working. It froze up here for some reason. Okay, let me see. Wasn't there an article of this?
There's a video.
The video. Okay.
Yeah, so sometimes you have to refresh it, and then the video maybe will show up on the top there.
Let me try that again. Let me open that again. I think I think that's why we're freezing up here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, great. Is this an ad? Oh, shit. Yeah, so basically, I can preface that while we're waiting for that dumb ad to load. It was Women of the Year, so there was a couple of more in there just for clarity.
But there's a dude.
But the fact that they have a guy in there.
There's
is like,
a dude who looks like Mrs. Kind of Doubtfire.
Giving it away a little bit, don't
no,
you
Mrs.
think?
Doubtfire was better looking.
And here we go. Something about pay equality here on the ad. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, here we go. What about 3 seconds? I can't wait that long. Like Homer said. Here we go.
Women are often the creators of change. In terms of the changes that we see in our society and our culture, I think that women are those change makers.
He's the perfect spokeswoman.
Admiral Rachel Levine is a groundbreaking leader, public health champion, and an advocate. She credits family support for helping her get where she is today.
My father has passed, but my mother is still alive, and she is quite the role model. She is a retired attorney.
I've
always been motivated by those who work for the benefit of others, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, you're really helping
Last
the
year,
world.
Rachel made history, becoming the first Granny openly cheese. Transgender 4-star officer across uniformed services.
And raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God. So help me God. Laughing their ass off.
I hope so.
And it is truly my honor to serve as the Assistant Secretary for Health, and truly my honor to be an admiral in the Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, to be the first transgender individual who is an admiral in any of the 8 uniformed services. And my goal is to give back.
Part of giving back is Admiral Levine's message to the transgender and non-conforming community.
The message here in Philadelphia, in Love Park, is that trans rights are human rights. You have worth. You have
the rights of
tremendous
women and children
worth
that don't want to be around
you. You are, no matter who you love, no matter who you are, no matter what your gender identity, sexual orientation, or anything else. And to be true
Except
to that, and then everything
good.
Else will yep. follow. And
right.
it highlights something which I truly believe in, which is the value of diversity.
Oh,
diversity is
go.
Just so important
Let's
in our
celebrate.
Culture. It's important for our country, for the world. And so
world,
we really need to welcome diversity and actually celebrate diversity for what it brings to us as a nation and what it brings to us globally.
Admiral Levine wants her work to be a shining example for all.
With the COVID-19 pandemic and the other challenges that we face, public health is more important than ever.
Yes,
the
please tell
pandemic
us about
has
health.
Taught us like nothing
it's a picture
before
of good health.
How interconnected we all are. The personal decisions that we make influence our families, our communities, our nation,
this
and
is just like
the world.
Cliche
I really feel that everything I've ever done, again, whether it was in academic medicine, in education, in clinical research, seeing my patients, in my role in public health in Pennsylvania, and now my role nationally, has all led to this moment.
And she plans to meet this moment with courage and integrity.
My definition of courage would be to be true to yourself and to be true to who you are.
Well, that's what we're doing,
Levine. And
then
to pay that forward.
Yeah, oldie but goodie right there for you.
And you people have a problem with that. I just,
right.
Jimmy Fallon says,
Fantastic.
Richard Levine, why are all these faggots named Richard?
Yeah,
there's a lot of,
class
a lot of Richards and Karens out there.
I mean, they add. Not
like, yet. How can you look at this freak show and act like it's totally normal and healthy? Like, there are women that will cry when they see, oh my God, this is so bad. Like, People are sick in the head.
This is what it's all about right here, isn't it? It's like, I mean, look, I had like a, you know, the lower third is like the West deserved to be burned to the ground at this point, right? That's kind of what you
start
feel.
Over.
But then you realize, you know, you realize that like, oh, this is like this is the goal, right? Like the Frankfurt School, you go back to some of that work, right? They were talking about this, of like one guy specifically, he's talking about, let's make it, was one of the points here, right? Let me see if I'll.
That's right. I did a show about this years ago.
let's make it so
corrupt
that
it stinks,
right? Let me just find that line here. Here we go, right? Actually, this is the second one here. Yeah, here we go. Munzenberg, right. By the way. He's one of the only Gentiles Goy here.
Yeah, and the guy that interviewed, that's why he was so focusing on that one. I was like, what about all these guys?
Right. So he's basically one. So they pushed him kind of out there, like, here, to say those things. But anyway, Munzenberg summed up the Frankfurt School's long-term operation thus. We will make the West so corrupt that it stinks, right? Keep this in mind as we watch the rest. I mean, it is now corrupt, but also know that this was not an accident. This was by design. This was the plan. This was the point. And in a way, you know, part of me sometimes feel, well, we should have an attitude of, no, there's still good people here. We just need to get good people in positions of leadership roles and turn this around, as opposed to just like, you know, burning everything. It's like you're kind of hinging along. You're hitching a wagon to this agenda in a way. But at the same time, it's like,
it's, I don't know if it's salvageable at this point. You almost have to burn them out, you know?
I know. Just,
like,
just
get the good people out and then like...
Just know that that's part of it, and there's other countries benefiting from the corruptness in the West, and that we're losing faith in ourselves and all that stuff as well. So that's part of it. But at the same time, I'm like torn because, like, as I'm watching this, I can't. There's nothing else. What do we do here? You know what I mean? So here's the other one, right? Should we talk about this guy for a little bit here?
Yeah. What is this? Is a swimmer? I didn't even really follow this, but
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he cut his ding dong off because you don't see it in the swimsuit. Wins the women's swimming competition.
Is that a is it tucked in
or is it actually, because I mean, he actually like cut that thing off, so like, is that that's a, hardcore.
Is that a tuck right there or what's going on there?
But surprise! You
know
what?
I don't want to know.
Surprise! Surprise! A guy.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a female reproductive system, so you're not a female. Wins the swimming competition, and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing, this is wonderful.
He said, it means the world to me to be here. Look at that size difference here of competitor 2 and 3 there. Let's listen to the clip there real quick.
Leah, how did that performance measure up to your expectations coming into this meet tonight?
I didn't have a whole lot of expectations for this meet. I was just happy to be here trying
to see a girl at all.
Race and compete as best as I could.
You've undoubtedly been under the spotlight over the past few months. How have you been dealing with that and reasoning with everything?
I try to ignore it as much as I can. I try to focus on my swimming, what I need to do to get ready for my races.
It's almost like he's intentionally doing it just to win,
just try to block
right?
out everything else.
Like,
what did that race mean to you?
He's not even really trans or whatever.
No.
It means the world to be here, be with two of my best friends and teammates, and be able to compete.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Leah, all right, there you go.
By the way, Lars Eggerbeck had said when we were talking about Levine there, the four-star general, you know, good military optics, said this is one of the reasons why Putin invaded Ukraine. One of the reasons, not the main one. Like, are you thinking probably like he said, oh, the weak is so West, let's go. The West is so weak, let's go.
They've got
their military generals and high heels and nail polish and looking like
It's definitely part of it. I have a couple of clips when he's talking about some of this later, you know, Putin. But yeah, okay, yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Ukraine is not there 100% yet, but the closer they align with the West, they will be. You know, their borders is already opening, and you know that they're getting all the same programming and stuff. And I don't want them to have that. You know, it's like,
no.
I want them to remain who they are, right?
No.
All right. So here's one more thing, by the way, before we go into actually Ukraine a little bit more in detail here. Everything that's happening. This was like, oh, this is interesting. This looks great. Idaho bill would make medical treatment, and you know what that means, right? Medical treatment, it means puberty block, you know, hormone blockers, puberty blockers. It means cutting off kids' ding-dongs or you know, putting one in or whatever. Idaho bill would make medical treatment for trans youth punishable by life in prison.
Yeah.
And thank you, Republicans, for killing the bill and banning trans medical care. Yeah. So that's the conservatives here, right? That's how they're standing up for things.
That's the thing, like in Idaho, that's the war between these rhino neocons versus the America First patriot type that see the globo homo, you know? It really is a war of that.
And even there's some questions, but you know, it's better than nothing. Not, I'll take it.
Speaking of Idaho, real quick, yeah. Odinland, yeah. I think I know who you are, says, wanted to give a shout out to Colin. I think I know who that is. Getting work done on the Idaho farm. Thanks for another great show.
Have a good time at the farm, Colin. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So basically, we have this happening here, too. The Nobel Peace Prize is probably, we'll see what happens here, but probably going to be awarded to Zelensky, the comedian, basically, right?
Who plays pianos comedian. With his ding-dong of his friend.
That is correct. Now, of course, you got to keep in mind, too, the Nobel, not only the Peace Prize, the Nobel Committee overall is just turning into like a joke and a farce in so many ways. But specifically, the Peace Prize in many times have been awarded to the worst people imaginable when it comes to, like, you know, inciting war and conflict and violence and misery, just like Zelensky, right? He's exacerbated the conflict. He's made things much worse. It's not only him, because to a certain extent, he is a puppet. But as far as the world out there concerned, he's a brave leader and he's standing up for freedom and he's doing he's fighting for you on the front lines for Ukraine and stuff like that, right? No, he's been probably the worst thing that could happen to Ukraine, essentially. So think of Obama, right? He also got nominated and awarded the Nobel Peace Prize basically for nothing at all, for being black and being voted in to the U.S. presidency. And he dropped more bombs in the Middle East than like George W. Bush did, right? But he still got the prize. So of course they would award this to Zelensky. It's a perfect fit. We'll see if he gets it. He probably will get it, to be honest, you know. For a while I thought maybe if like Israel managed to like kind of mediate here in some way and Naftali Bennett gets it, or they wheel out some other Messiah figure out of Jerusalem and just say, look at this guy, he solved world peace. You know, we were spared. They want to push us towards World War III, so I'm sure we'll get that. They want nukes brought out here now and a nuclear exchange with Russia. But if they don't get there, maybe that's the route to go. We'll see what happens. But total clown world, right? So speaking of Jerusalem and some stuff like that, check out this Jerusalem Post article here. Purim, right? Is Ukraine's Zelensky the modern-day Mordecai or Esther? Zelensky, like Mordecai and Esther, holds high office in a Gentile country, and he too is playing politics to survive. No, he's ruining that country.
Yeah.
And he's doing the worst imaginable job. Yeah, he's getting rich. He's, you know, he's an actor. He's a comedian. He's running around in his T-shirt now with his green military T-shirt. And I mean, I played some part of the Congress, the speech he did to Congress, you know. Please, you know, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, so give us more money and give us weapons, give us arms. We're winning, but desperately asking for help, you know, like, please do what we... Just put in a no-fly zone. Just put in a no-fly zone, please. That's the least thing you can do, yeah. Who's going to shoot down Russian planes then when that's enforced? Who's going to enforce that? That's literally World War III right there. Mm-hmm. That's like, fuck you, like nukes going off at that point. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care about Ukrainians. He doesn't care about anybody but himself, you know, this guy. Absolute lunatic, right? This was another good one, too, at Jerusalem Post. Israel and the Ukraine crisis, a false choice between Russia and the West, right? Everyone else has to pick, you know, well, we have to, first of all, it's illegal to pick the Russian side, of course, in the West right now, basically. But as far as Israel is concerned, no. They can walk that beautiful line in the middle. In fact, this article even argues it's not about that. Why? Well, let's say here, despite the commentary to the contrary, the Ukraine crisis does not present Israel with a cataclysmic East-West dilemma. Why? Because the Jewish state unequivocally is bound to the United States.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. It is the U.S. at this point.
Well, Biden would argue if there wasn't an Israel, we'd invent one. But yes. It's like, it's Israel running the show in the United States now.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The problem, though, is, look, I mean, your pay piggy, the United States, is going to go belly up soon, right? In large part, thanks to the activities of you and your activists. So what are you going to do then? There's going to be an alignment but with China, with Russia, with India, this whole new Eurasian faction over there, probably more Asian than European, but you know what I'm saying. Belt and Road Initiative and stuff. And Israel is going to be positioned right smack in the middle of that. They're going to hang on and pose like they're on the west side as long
as they
can.
They'll profit anyway. They'll jump ship anywhere.
To get money and to do what they want and wiggle and stuff.
Play both sides.
Of course. Yeah, right. Because the U.S. is going under. I mean, it's just a fact, right? You won't be able to reverse this with the trillions in debt and stuff. Look, I don't want it to happen. I wish it wasn't so. But there's going to be massive economic transformation as a consequence, not only of this, because it was already going there after 2 years of the COVID bullshit and lockdowns and everybody out of business and trillions in stimulus and like all these crazy things. And now the war and the sanctions and the oil and the gas shortages and the fertilizer shortage and all this stuff that's happening in the wake of this, perfectly fitting into the Great Reset, by the way. And speaking of that, Ukraine, this is an interesting story, right? Of like, they always, now they're posing this idea that, like, well, Ukraine is fighting for their freedom, right? Kind of against the Russian aggression.
Zelensky, right? Is it?
And it's like, in reality, what has happened, you know, before the invasion happened and stuff like that, is that Ukraine was like on the front lines when it came to like enforcing the COVID-19 vax mandates on government employees, on healthcare workers, on teachers. They were working towards digital certificates, right? The basically a social credit score, central bank digital currencies. And you had an article on that,
too,
right?
Yeah, no, of course.
Right?
He was talking to Schwab there at the World Economic Forum, and basically getting on board with the Great Reset. He announced he's introducing the social credit application, universal basic income, the digital identity, the vaccine passport. So he is all on board. So this is not about freedom for the Ukrainian people. Ukraine is just being used to further this agenda of the Great Reset. Ultimately, that's what's happening. And they don't care how many white lives die in the process.
No, of course not. In fact, they prefer to Ukrainians to be dying on the front lines, and they can use that in the optics war. And then they want Russians to die, and then they want the Azov battalion to be up against the wall. I mean, everybody that's being used in this conflict is ultimately the ones that are being it's going to be hit the hardest by this, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that's pretty incredible. And what this points to as well is that Ukraine is basically a playground for NATO, CIA, Pentagon, NATO, U.S. State Department, and all these other forces.
And it has been for a while,
right?
But now you can really see it coming into fruition.
Yeah, it's a vassal state, of the U.S. And then, of course, you know, there's forces that are controlling the U.S., globalist forces, international cliques that are controlling the United States, right? So that's why this is happening. And, you know, I talked about this the other day, too, like, oh, well, that's weird. This looks like the only good thing that they're doing. They actually legalized the crypto sector.
I think he's only saying that because Ukraine, as he said, he was like, oh, I'm becoming like a celebrity at the World Economic Forum. And all this money is coming into the Ukraine, including cryptocurrencies, right? So he's getting crypto donations, basically, to help fund this war against Russia and all this stuff. So now it's like, oh, now we welcome cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
Now it's a good thing.
So they're like kind of Australia, like Canada in a way, right? They're right there, like with the other Five Eyes countries, like on the front lines of enforcing all this COVID tyranny that's come in the wake of that. Social credit score, vaccine passports, which then going to turn into digital IDs, like all these things, right? So they're using this as a playground, just like they're doing with so many other countries. And if the Ukrainians pull through, and let's assume that they somehow still manage to, I don't think that's going to happen. Russia is probably going to, you know, win the war. It's going to be negotiations, and they're going to be in a bad spot probably. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But if they do manage to align with the West and do all these things, they are going to be under the rulership and the thumb of global homo within 5 minutes. You know, even more so. Look, Biden is giving them like $14 billion, right? You know, now and another billion in arms and weapons aid and stuff. I mean, it's crazy. They're literally using them as a tool, you know what I mean, in their fight against Russia. It's crazy.
That's right. A couple here. Flying Dutchman says, Putin's policies were Republican conservative policies 20 years ago. I hope he's more successful in stopping cultural Marxist bullshit than we were. Peace and Z.
This is the thing, and we'll talk about that later, but they're going to get there. They're because of communism and the Iron Curtain and all that stuff, they're basically like, and I don't mean this necessarily in a like demeaning way, but they're retarded. They're like, you know, efterbliven, we say in Swedish. They're like, they're 10 years behind. They're 15 years. 15, 20 years behind.
But there's a lot of people that see what's going on in the West. They see through a lot of the cultural Marxist stuff, too. They talk about it all the time. They laugh about it. Remember the Russian Orthodox priest that was laughing? Oh, no, we're banned from, Russia's banned from Pornhub. What will we ever do?
McDonald's and BlackRock, exactly.
Der Cherusker says, what Putin is doing is an aggression, but the puppet Zelensky and other oligarchs such as Kolomoisky, Soros, and other Western powers have no good intentions with Ukraine.
No. It's a mess.
Der Cherusker says many national revolutionaries from Germany around Europe support the Ukrainian side, even though they know that the EU and NATO are evil powers. Yes, I've seen that.
I mean, we've talked about that back and forth, and I'm really genuinely torn, you know, because I want good things for each, whether they have an interest in you know, preserving their ethnic group or whether they maybe later they want to car. You know, look at how the West encouraged stateship for the Kurds or something, for example, right? Why, you know, like to a crazy point, where like foreign policy journals and the Council on Foreign Relations are like, it's time for an ethno state for Kurds, you know, kind of thing. It's like crazy, like what? So like I and I'm not against that, but I'm saying if it's a European country or a smaller area in a European country to also want to do that, I mean they know, like they'll bomb this region before they ever would allow such a thing.
Exactly.
So I hope that the nationalist forces in Ukraine, they manage to break off or break free, or they can do what they want to do. But look, they're being used. They're being used as cannon fodder and meat against the war on Russia. And if they pull through, as I said before, they'll be sacrificed number one. Do you think the West, who's vehemently hysterical about Nazism in the West and hunting Nazis everywhere, and everybody's a Nazi and everyone they don't agree with is a Nazi, do you think they're going to let that go after that? It's like, battalion, that's cool. Yeah. They're good guys, you know.
The thing is, I have a friend in Ukraine. Like, there's so much going on there. It's so convoluted because so many people are coming from around the world volunteering to fight and all this stuff that... I have a good friend in Ukraine. Her family is over there, and they call her often just to keep up. You know, she's here in America now. But they said there's, you know, missiles, there's fire, there's gunshots, there's, airplanes flying over all the time. There's fighting, like it's crazy. And then when she asks, well, can you identify who it is? No one can actually identify who is doing what. You know, it's very convoluted.
It's a fog of war. Yeah, the fog of war.
And it's like, could be freaking NATO or anybody coming in there and doing this kind of stuff at this point. But no one can actually outright identify, like, oh, yes, these are Russian armies, like, in this particular area. And this is on the border of Russia where they live.
Right. Well, and this one, remember this one, too? CIA-trained Ukrainian paramilitary insurgent leaders ahead of Russian invasion. Kind of like they knew almost, right? But look, there's so many forces in there. There's so many different gay ops going on and so many different agendas. There's separate – I mean, there's, like – you know, you have the Chechens now coming in, and then there's a separatist group inside of the Chechens that are working against the establishment. They're joining up with Putin. I mean, there's enemy. We've seen
and
like
Muslims,
anarcho-communist
Muslims
groups,
and
you know,
and Christians,
yeah, like, it's just like,
and
yeah, but this is what happens in the war. Just like look at how many groups there were in Syria. It still is. Like all these breakaway groups and kind of halfway like there in terms of their extreme, I mean, not that I'm saying moderate rebels. I'm not trying to that bullshit. I'm saying they're genuinely like radical groups that have tiny infighting issues. You know what I mean? That can be used and they can fund one side against the other. And like, it's a mess, right?
It's a mess. And then you have, you know, faking videos and all that level of it like they did in Syria. Doug Whistler says, Russia cannot fully absorb Ukraine as it can easily be supplied across its borders by four NATO countries. The U.S. deadlocked in the Korean War, but U.S. arms manufacturers still make money arming South Korea. We had a stalled war in Iraq and fled Afghanistan, but Raytheon is still selling drones and arms. Young men die equals elites profit.
Exactly. We have a clip on that later. That's you got it. That's it. It's. I mean, let's face it. It's white people dying.
Yeah, and that's
for the
a
most
great
part.
Thing
for the most part, white people dying on
and
the front lines.
This other great reason.
And you have a whole mechanism behind this, which is perfectly like a puzzle piece. It's hand in glove, fits right into that agenda. Oh, good. Can we shut down gas? Oh, good. Can we shut down oil? Oh, good. Are we going to grind the West to a halt, industrially speaking? Yeah, it's happening right now. By the way, speaking of the you know, how Ukraine is being used now as a you know, great reset frontline experimentation country. Bank of Canada joins up with MIT to announce a joint central bank digital currency collaboration, right? So it's coming to Canada as well. You have this one as well. Eight countries team up to form a digital ID group. More countries are pushing to issue digital IDs to citizens, right? Let me see the countries here. We have Australia, Canada, Finland, Israel.
Mostly white ones,
New
and
Zealand,
one Asian.
Yep, Singapore, the Netherlands, Israel, United Kingdom. And again, you can actually add Ukraine onto that because they're working on that right now as well, and they'll team right up with that. So, yep, crazy stuff. Okay, let's see what else we had here. The first Ukrainian refugees are arriving, right?
Well, can see the picture. Spoiler alert. I thought it was a joke, but it's for reals. Donegal, it's a country. I know Irish people are like, you're not saying that. Donegal?
Donegal.
A county of Ireland in the province of Ulster. It's named after the town of Donegal, right? Which is the meaning fort of the foreigners in the south of the country. Well, literal, I guess. They just received their first group of Ukrainian refugees who arrived in the seaside resort a few days ago. 60 are said to come. Now, out of these two pictures, out of the 9 we see in these pictures, only one looks Ukrainian. If you scroll down to the other one, they look... And now I know in Ukraine and like Eastern Russia, you've got that Kazakhstan kind of Asian blend or whatever. So they've got that going on. But it's mainly like there's Africans coming in, okay, and being called Ukrainian refugees. And what do news stories focus on? Oh, the poor Africans who just arrived to Ukraine. Now they have to go to a new country again. And tough for them. As if they had any attachment to Ukraine to begin with. I mean, they're smiling in the photo. Look up at the other photo there. And they don't look traumatized. The blacks, if you scroll up there, don't look traumatized to me. They just got to one country and they're, oh, you're going to get rerouted to this other white country. Okay, great. Well, what about actual Ukrainians whose country is being destroyed by traitors within and without to further this great globo homo reset agenda? What about what about those? But I just keep saying, oh, my poor blacks.
There's a lot of refugees right now on the run, a lot of Ukrainians.
But remember that clip that we played with the blacks and the black refugees in Ukraine who were asked to go out and fight? And they were like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Ukraine, I'm black. What do you mean? And now in this case, it's like, oh, the Ukrainians have arrived. It's like, whatever they need to hustle to get in and out of what they want, you know.
So this is in Ireland, right? So we're in...
It's horrible what's happening.
We're not in the UK, but if we go over to their neighbor there, the UK, this is one of the... Do I have this here? I forgot to import that. No, here it is. Okay, here we go. Look at this here. Here's a bunch of celebrities lining up to push for... And again... Think about it. It's not just like, I mean, again, I'm not against helping, Ukrainians who need our help, and we should help them. We should help them temporarily until they can restore the country, just like any other, you know, country, you know, in that way. But there's this massive push in the wake of this crisis that we need to help. This is a promotion of refugeeism now.
You can't help white people, right? Because white people can never truly be refugees. Because remember, white people and all white people are racist. So we can't just be helping them and placing them. And, you know, it doesn't matter if their house has been bombed out or whatever. They're never victims. They're never really refugees, right? We laugh at them like Kamala Harris. But it's like, oh, you help a few white people. Oh, now you have to help a billion Africans too.
Yep. Here's all the celebrities in the UK coming out. And if you repeat, you know, propaganda essentials 101, repeat. I never miss a bandwagon. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. What is the current thing? I'm aboard the current thing, whatever that is. Meanwhile, of course, that's not the one I want to change. Meanwhile, of course, there's literally things, and I'm not trying to say we shouldn't help Ukraine. Look, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying the switch was flipped so damn fast on this thing, and you just had an actual army of lunatics out there, you know, all of a sudden, like Ukraine, and the social profiles changed, and everybody's like hypnosis immediately under that, right? Well, for all this time, not only in Ukraine, by the way, there was like a war for 8 years. They didn't give a shit then. All of a sudden, they were told that they're going to give a shit. That's when they give a shit. But they actually are not giving shit about other real things happening around the world, such as, for example, the people in Yemen, right? There's been war there for a long time now as well. I forget how many years it's been raging. And you have about, you know, almost 160, well, over actually, 161,000 people there. They're now facing catastrophic levels of hunger, right? Do you see anyone with Yemen flags in their social media profiles?
No, because like, CNN isn't like really hammering it. You know?
It doesn't matter. We don't give a shit about them. It doesn't matter.
It's not
in the bigger,
on the liberal TV. Doesn't exist.
Look, it's not a country which has acted as our. I'm talking from the global international cliques point of view. The establishment. It's not a country that has been our little playground, and if we have another country invading, there's a bunch of shit that could come out of just how corrupt we are and just how much... Look, this is why the U.S. started destroying a bunch of documents relating to the biolabs, right? There was like this scramble all of a sudden, like, oh my holy shit, like, we got to arm these people, we got to push back, this, we can't have this. All our shit's going to come out, right? All the connections, all the medical companies alone, and the number of pharmaceutical companies that are based, you know, in and around the Kiev area, it's insane. People have started looking into this, and it's like all this
money pagan again.
There you go. I mean, all these things are like being imported into Ukraine. It's been used in this way. And that's the reason why you see this massive push to stand up and send your mercenaries, send your weapons, send your billions. And now they're, you know, using the U.S. is using that as its as a sledgehammer against Russia, right? Ukraine is. Listen to this. It can't be more clear than what Adam Schiff said back in 2020.
Most critically, the military aid that we provide Ukraine helps to protect and advance American national security interests in the region and beyond. The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Yeah, there you go. How much more do you need to hear than that, right? That's what it's all about right there. We are funding or helping Ukraine over there so we don't have to fight Russia here, right? So we're fighting. They're fighting Russia. We're fighting Russia. We're using that, right?
And kill them first so they can't kill us, right?
Yeah. And now, of course, as I said, because of this, you have all this money being poured into it, right? Yep. Because you have Pentagon, DOD, biolabs there. You have all these businesses going up and all the corruption, how all these Western countries are pouring in billions and billions into Ukraine, using it as kind of a slush fund, or like we gave this aid to Ukraine, it has another $5 billion, right, or something. And then much of that money goes back into the pockets of the people that are approving all these bills and shit like that, right?
It's
so even the, it's not only the U.S., by the way, I should say, too. Look at this here. EU proposes to create a solidarity fund for Ukraine's basic needs, right? And say, well, it's just for the basic needs and stuff. But it's like, but then you look at the fine print, you look at what they're doing. All these EU countries now are providing arms. They wanted to do jets. Look, the latest thing, I guess, fell through with the, was it the MiGs that Poland had or something like that? And then Poland wanted other jets from the US or whatever, right? But the point is that they're like this close in terms of getting like real, I mean, massive support. And all of the West, all of EU, all of NATO, America is like using Ukraine as its proxy, right? To get to Russia.
And also,
right?
Another way to funnel more money, launder more money, doing who knows what with all that money.
Absolutely, right? And if it's like these memes that came out, right? Like, as soon as America needs help, I don't think so. It's going to be a long and egregious process. But then overnight, $14 billion. Suck on that for a little bit. How much do you think $14 billion could go to help Americans right now, right? We're like, we'll wait. We have to squeeze, these politicians for like 6 months in order to get a miserly $600 help after they locked everything down for 2 years and destroyed everybody's business, right?
It's so evil.
Two days.
This country is horrible.
Billion.
Evil. Wicked, evil, yep. Horrible country.
2 days, $14 billion. Not a problem, right? Not a problem at all. And speaking, of course, of corruptness absolutely disgusting attitude when it comes to this. Like, well, when we do it, it's correct. Mm-hmm. Listen to this clip here of Biden speaking about bombing Belgrade, right? Serbia.
Suggesting we bomb Belgrade. I was suggesting that we send American pilots in and blow up all the bridges on the Drina. I was suggesting we take out his oil supplies. I was suggesting very specific action. Suggesting.
See, it's okay.
No problem.
It's okay when we talk about it.
Violence
when we've
is
done
good.
This.
Yep. War is good when we do it and we're killing the side we don't like.
Yep, right? Exactly. Bringing the Serbs to heel. A massive bombing attack opens the door. A massive bombing attack opens the door to peace. Right? So it's like the hypocrisy is just like astronomical, right? Here's another. Look at this one here, by the way. This is funny.
Yeah, I mean, this is absurd. Anything that happens, it's Putin did it, right? Putin did
yeah,
it. A model died. Oh, Putin did it.
Yeah, it's kind of a different thing here, but
I broke my leg. Putin did it.
Yeah, the way they try to push him that he's responsible for these things, right? This is a headline, right? Russian model who trashed Putin on social media found dead in suitcase, right? Oh, my God. Putin chopped up her body and
well,
forced it into
Henrik.
A suitcase. I can't, but he's so brutal, right? And then it turns out you look at the actual article, she was killed by her. It's completely unrelated to Putin, right? It's like nothing to do with it.
Oh, no. He is everywhere.
Anyway, it's just funny thing of a side story here, you know. But all right, so here we go. So getting into the Putin thing a little bit here. Or do you want to do it?
Well, Jimmy Fallon said regards to that open arms, gay open arms video. Like as if I'm not already sick of Journey at karaoke. Yeah, was that a Journey song with open
was
arms?
It?
Yeah, I think so. Probably.
Was that what it was? Okay, maybe it was.
B says, thank you for all you do. I love you both. Thank you, B.
Thank you.
And Norfolk
it.
Says, hey, Henrik and Lana, thanks for a great show today and helping us stay on top of the shenanigans, which is
thank
good.
Appreciate
we just
it.
Had St. Patrick's Day, which
yeah,
I spent
good.
One in Dublin with friends, and that was a blast. I thought, you know, being in America, I thought, oh, it's more celebrated in America or whatever, but no, they were going off in Ireland, St.
Nice.
Patrick's Day.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, here we go. Open arms, Journey. Musicians in that video? I don't think they were, but anyway. I just think of the video I made, the humorous video I made on the Don't Stop Believing. You
know,
the
80s ballads are always fun to work on.
All right. Okay. So let me get back on track here. Here is Putin talking about some of the disease... labs. Is this the right one? No, it's not. Hang on here.
The bio labs in Ukraine?
I got this, as they cringingly say.
I
know,
that.
It's just,
I
hate that too. That's why I said it. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Sorry, don't think I imported this properly. Let me try this again. Bear with me a second here. God, this is horrible production. It's like InfoWars when the crew can't get it right.
I bet you this... never mind, she's dead now. I was going to say, this model will probably get some contracts. I'm like, oh, never mind, she's dead. Putin killed her.
Putin killed her. She's in a suitcase. Putin did that while he's bombing Ukrainians. While he's leveling the country with nukes, he just sliced up this woman's body.
Was her boyfriend black?
I don't know. Hey, here is Putin on the biolabs. Listen to this. We'll take us into some stuff here.
In Ukraine, there was a network of dozens of laboratories led by and financially supported by Pentagon, and they were carrying out military biological programs. They were experimenting with the strains of coronavirus, anthrax, cholera, African pig plague, and other deathly, lethal pathogens. And now they are trying to mop up the evidence of this program. But we have every reason to believe that next to Russia, in Ukraine, next to Russian borders, they were basically creating components for biological weapon. And our numerous warns that such developments have poses direct threat to the safety of Russia, they were rejected by Ukraine and by their patrons from the U.S. And they did it in a very brazen way.
Yeah.
And we covered this extensively in the last Weekend Warrior, too, about American biolabs in Ukraine and all the sketchy stuff that they're working on.
Tinkering
around with all
I
these coronaviruses and other sketchy
the
viruses.
They're telling the
studying
truth,
right? The migratory pattern of birds that fly over just Russia to basically release diseases over that population. Mm-hmm. Studying the Slavic genes in relations to certain diseases and stuff. And so Russia was getting concerned about bioweapons, even targeting the Slavic
gene-specific weapons. We talked about the situation in Georgia, too. The labs there after the Rose Revolution, and tomorrow I'm actually talking with Diliana, a Bulgarian journalist, independent journalist, about that, because she's done a lot of research of what happened in Georgia, but she's aware of the Ukraine labs as well. And in fact, there's what was it, like 25 countries at least, I think it was like 300 labs in 25 countries. If I get that right, it could be even more. And so that's a big story still. I mean, again, they're trying to cover up their tracks. And why are they saying, oh, this is disinfo, blah, 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 so much? It's because it would violate the treaties, right? The bioweapon treaties that the U.S. is part of. And this would be like, you know, international, like, you know, huge scandal, right? And that's what, so they have to cover that up. So anyway, so that's coming up tomorrow. It'll go up first exclusively on Red House members. It'll be there for probably a day or two or so, and then we'll get it up on all the other channels. But get in on redhousemembers.com if you want to watch that first. And one thing that Putin said here, which is interesting, is regarding African
swine
pig plague. It's also called African swine fever. And I just, you know, just a couple of headlines like this. In relation to this. Completely coincidental, of course. African swine fever outbreaks continues in Russia.
That was
right?
2011.
Russia reports swine fever outbreak as one of Mirtorg's sites, right? And then here's a study on this,
so a little
too.
Testing going on, probably.
Yeah, it says here, African swine fever is an infectious viral disease that causes high economic loss due to the necessity of depopulation of pigs in affected areas. And of course, somehow, this is happening all over Eastern Europe now. African plague got to the Dnieper pigs, right? Wave of African plague spreads over pig breedings in Slovakia. African pig plague found in dead wild boars near Budapest, Hungary. And then here's Estonia, right? Other pig plague, emptiness of meat counters. That's basically that, right? That this, like, it's just completely coincidental,
right?
That they mention these things that are popping up, right? So here's some other good stuff that Putin talked about. We're going to play a couple of clips where he's make some really good points. Let's begin there. Here's the latest one. This is kind of subtitled, so read the text here, guys.
Не надо здесь, не надо, что называется, перекладывать с больной головы на здоровую. Во всем обвиняю нашу страну. Хочу, чтобы меня услышали и простые граждане западных государств. Вас сейчас настойчиво пытаются убедить в том, что все ваши трудности – это результат каких-то враждебных действий России. Что из вашего собственного кошелька надо оплатить борьбу с мифической русской угрозой. Все это ложь. А правда в том, что текущие проблемы, с которыми сталкиваются миллионы людей на Западе, стали результатом многолетних действий правящих элит их государств. Их ошибок, близорукости и амбиций. Эти элиты думают не о том, как улучшить жизнь своих граждан в западных странах. Они одержимы своими корыстными интересами и сверхприбылями.
Check that out. Interesting, huh? It's the ruling elites of the West. These elites are not thinking about how to improve the lives of their citizens. They are obsessed with their selfish interests and super profits, right? So it's like
getting... No lie detected. Yeah, he says some spot-on things.
You're getting some good things, partially because, as I've said before, it's like it's for the same reason that you can get truths about the United States from China, because they have an invested interest in, like, you know, it's competition, it's kind of a tug of war, it's rifts and problems and stuff like that. You're never going to get the truth about the United States from the United States, you know what I mean? So that's kind of one of the reasons, right? Check out a couple of other ones here, good stuff that he said.
Есть и внешнеполитические, и моральные аспекты. Мы видим, как многие евроатлантические страны фактически пошли по пути отказа от своих корней. В том числе и от христианских ценностей, составляющих основу западной цивилизации.
Gotta give a shout out to those pre-Christian ancestors that are too.
Отрицаются нравственные начала и любая традиционная идентичность, национальная, культурная, религиозная или даже половая. Проводится политика, ставящая на один уровень многодетную семью и однополое партнерство, веру в Бога или веру в сатану. Эксцессы политкорректности доходят до того, что всерьез говорится о регистрации партий, ставящих своей целью пропаганду педофилии. Люди во многих европейских странах стыдятся и боятся говорить о своей религиозной принадлежности.
Или
называют их как-то по-другому, стыдливо прячут саму суть этого праздника, нравственную основу этих праздников. И эту модель пытаются агрессивно навязывать всем, всему миру. Убежден, это прямой путь к деградации и примитивизации, глубокому демографическому и нравственному кризису. Что еще может быть большим свидетельством морального кризиса человеческого социума, как не утрата способности к самовоспроизводству? А сегодня практически все развитые страны уже не могут воспроизводить себя. Причем даже с помощью миграции.
Yeah.
Без ценностей, заложенных в христианстве и других мировых религиях, без формирования тысячелетиями, без формировавшихся тысячелетиями норм морали и нравственности, люди неизбежно утратят человеческое достоинство. И мы считаем естественным и правильным эти ценности отстаивать. Нужно уважать право любого меньшинства на отличие, но и право большинства. Право большинства не должно быть поставлено под сомнение. Одновременно мы видим попытки тем или иным способом реанимировать однополярную унифицированную модель мира, размыть институт международного права и национального суверенитета. Такому однополярному, унифицированному миру не нужны суверенные государства. Ему нужны вассалы. В историческом смысле это отказ от своего лица, от данного Богом природы многообразия мира.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's largely true, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, he pushes the Christian thing really hard, but again, that's because of the association with the West. So obviously, it would apply to anybody, even if you're not a Christian. They're anti-traditional. They're anti-homogeneous, you know, native majority people and culture and all that kind of stuff.
When
right?
it comes to European people,
the West, right? Here's one more, last one here regarding some of the good things you've said.
Да, безусловно. Они будут пытаться делать ставку на так называемую пятую колонну, на национал-предателей, на тех, кто зарабатывает деньги здесь, у нас, а живет там. И живет даже не в географическом смысле этого слова, а по своим мыслям, по своему рабскому сознанию. Я совсем не осуждаю тех, у кого вилла в Майами или на французской Ривьере, кто не может обойтись без фуагра, устриц или так называемых
гендерных. Right, yep. Но
проблема абсолютно не в этом. А повторю, в том, что многие из таких людей по своей сути ментально находятся именно там, а не здесь, не с нашим народом, не с Россией. Это и есть, по их мнению, признак принадлежности к высшей касте, к высшей расе. Подобные люди готовы и мать родную продать, только бы им разрешили сидеть в прихожей у этой самой высшей касты. И они хотят быть похожими на нее, всячески подражая ей. Но они забывают или не понимают вообще, что этой так называемой высшей касте они, если и нужны, то как расходный материал, чтобы использовать их для нанесения максимального ущерба нашему народу. Коллективный Запад пытается расколоть наше общество, спекулируя на боевых потерях, на социально-экономических последствиях санкций, спровоцировать гражданское противостояние в России и, используя свою пятую колонну, стремиться к достижению своей цели. А цель одна, я уже говорил об этом, разрушение России. Но любой народ, а тем более российский народ, всегда сможет отличить истинных патриотов от подонков и предателей, и просто выплюнет их, как случайно залетевшую в рот мушку, выплюнет на панель. Убежден, такое естественное и необходимое самоочищение общества только укрепит нашу страну, нашу солидарность, сплоченность и готовность ответить на любые вызовы.
All right, there you go. But yeah, so pretty good comments there, and this is part of the reason why he occasionally goes off script like this, and he mentions things about the West, which I think the other side is not willing to tolerate. Mm-hmm. They also can't have a country which would at least temporarily. So look, they have their own demographic problems. They have alcohol problems. They have not the majority are, as far as I understand it, are like not super Christian. It's like somewhat of a very atheistic, non-believing country. I think the majority of the population, right? There's a large and growing Muslim population. They're kind of federalized, so they have their own kind of multicultural issue, whatnot. But as one of the you guys said here in the Super Chats earlier, they're kind of like Republican Democrat. What did 20 years ago? Remember, mm-hmm. You can go back and look at some comments that like Biden made. You know, it's like, well, it's pretty base. But that's just because it was like that was normal at that point. So maybe they will get where the West is now. Maybe they don't. I hope they don't. But it's they need to have everybody aboard in Global Homo 100%, or this is not going to be pulled off. You can't have a country kind of off doing its own thing, serving as an example as the rest of the West
collapses. No, because they'll do better, they'll be healthier, they'll be stronger, they'll be more united. Well, hopefully a lot of people over there, and I do know there's a lot of people that are looking at our countries is like looking at the future that they would like for Russia. So they get a glimpse into that. Like, we didn't have that, right? We couldn't really look to other countries to kind of see what their agenda was, what the what the things are that lead up to where we got, you know. Yeah, right. But now they can see that. And it's like a big big warning sign.
Yeah, at least what they want to do, or what happens if they, I guess, get their puppets in place or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, that's another reason why you have so many gay ops, so many psy ops, whether it's to fling crap on Putin and stuff. And remember this from Financial Times: psyops are a crucial weapon in the war against the disinformation. It's all a big psyop, right? But anyway, the one I wanted to keep playing here now, or actually showing, has to do with, therefore, the irresponsibility of our leaders that have done this to us. So I want you to kind of try to wrap your head around this, of what the larger picture is, of what this means right now. As Russia, as the headline says here, divorced from the West, and a consequence of that is that we then, or our leaders, our misleaders, are driving Russia deeper into the hands of China, of India, of all the of that. There will be like a kind of at least Eastern Europe and then Asia, right?
So what does that mean for the West?
An alliance, right? Yeah. It means it basically means that we are going, as we lose more and more influence, we're doing this to ourselves, right? We lose also access to Russia. We lose Russia as a partner that we can trade with, that we can have good relations with. It's the biggest landmass in the world. There's tons of resources there. If because we're doing this, they of course want to disassociate with us. In other words, you have to understand this, like the consequences of everything that you're going to see. Not all of it hinges on Russia, of course. I'm not trying to say that, but we're losing, like, because of the Bidens and the Victoria Nulands and the Anthony Blinkens and the John Kerrys and the John McCains and all these people that have been there on the forefront meddling in these kinds of things, right? And they're kind of the spokesperson. There's a lot of much greater and darker forces behind the scenes, right? But still, that's the faces we see out there. Because of the fact that they're doing this, we don't even know the full consequences of this yet, because both Europe but also America has been so dependent on cheap energy, right? From Russia, oil and gas, that's just one thing. Then we have the fertilizer issue, and they'll go on and they'll have a great partnership as the West crumbles and falls apart, and we won't even be afforded to. I mean, we might lose our living standards because of this. Now, the West, the people in the West want us to do that, as I said before. They want us in the pod. They want us with a VR headset eating the bug protein, right? And then you look at these. You was concerned about China weighing in to help Russia. Well, you did this. It's
what
completely
are they, what are
your
they
responsibility.
Supposed to do?
they shouldn't be allowed to deal with anybody. We need to freeze them out of the international community. And then you realize, oh, the international community is just like some European countries, Canada and America. That's what they talk about when they mention that, right? So listen to, and this is about weapons too, by the way, right? So China might be supplying. And why wouldn't they, in a way, if they truly are, you know, an honest partner with Russia and things like, you know, they would be great under our wing. Let's take them in, right? Let's work closer together, and we can fight the West together, right? That's a big country, a huge landmass, right? So we have such dumb leaders. Listen to what Lavrov said here. He's the foreign minister, right, of Russia, of how he explained the situation here. Basically, we are going to ensure that we never end up in this situation ever again by being dependent on the West. In other words, they're severing this tie permanently. Listen to what he said here.
My first question is, the USA bans import of Russian oil and gas. What is the Russian oil politics with Europe?
And the question is there about Europe specifically, but this would apply to America as well, right? Who's been buying a lot of the energy from oil and gas from Russia.
And second question is about the sanctions. How Russia is reacting to the sanctions from different companies and countries?
Ну, я, по-моему, уже касался этого вопроса, как мы будем выходить. Вот мне, по-моему, задавала коллега ваша, я ответил, что мы решим эту проблему, причем решим ее так, чтобы больше никогда, никоим образом не зависеть от западных партнеров, будь то правительство или будь то компании, которые совсем не руководствуются интересами своего бизнеса, стали инструментом политической агрессии, которую сейчас Россия испытывает со стороны Запада. Мы сделаем так, чтобы больше никогда в подобной ситуации не оказывались, и чтобы никакой дядя, ни Сэм, никто еще не могли принимать решения, которые нацелены на то, чтобы разрушить нашу экономику. Мы найдем способ от этого больше не зависеть. И давно надо было это сделать. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ну а что касается...
We should have done it long ago, he says.
Санкции.
Ну вот я про санкции. Про санкции. Да, еще насчет нефти и газа. Ну,
look at that. Even then, he says, we're leaving it to the discretion. In other words, I assume that means, well, if they want to buy from us, they can, right? That's what it still means. Like, if they were smart here, they'd just cut it off completely. We're like, I mean, Europeans would, like, what, freeze to death come winter?
Оставляем это все на усмотрение и на совести наших западных коллег. Если мы никогда не использовали нефть и газ как оружие, вопреки тому, что они регулярно вменяют нам в качестве вины.
Ну, they should.
Yeah, maybe they should.
Первый кризис, когда украинская власть просто стала воровать газ транзитный для Европы, потому что за свой газ она прекратила платить. Мы исправно поставляли транзитный газ в Европу в полном соответствии с обязательством, что касается объемов и цены, а они воровали. Но вы думаете, Европа как-то попыталась усмирить их? Ничего подобного. Европа стала говорить, что это Россия использует этот газ как оружие. Хотя прекрасно знали, что на самом деле происходит.
All right, you get the point there. But, like, you know, again, I want you to, like, understand this, that, like, it's our so-called leaders that are they're
screwing
the ones
up.
That have done this by antagonizing them, by using Ukraine, NATO, nukes.
Higher gas prices.
All these things are happening now is because of them. Like, look at the CNN headline here.
Yeah, that's the
soaring gas prices.
I
was reading for the
Just
podcast audience,
more
right?
Money.
Soaring gas prices are hurting Americans. It's time for more stimulus checks.
That's not going to solve the problem.
It'll
one $600 check. What's that going to do?
A million times worse, in fact, right? Look at this one here. Here's Bloomberg, right? The International Energy Agency says the world could ease Russian oil crisis by restricting cars, right? That's what they want. Like, the world could lessen an oil shortage caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine by restricting how people use their cars, says the International Energy Agency.
Yeah, it's two birds with one stone, though, right? It's part of this whole Agenda 21 the war on gas cars and all of that stuff. Yep. It all just really converges.
It does.
You see the pieces come together.
It's perfect, you know what I mean? Yep.
Let's see. Jimmy Fallon says, I know all kinds of Russians, Russians that love Putin, Russians that hate Putin. Not a single one blames Putin for the sanctions or their effects. They place the blame squarely where it belongs, on the West. However, one feels about Russia going into Ukraine, the West's reaction is batshit insane. It's no wonder that formerly non-aligned countries now lean towards Russia.
Yeah.
Yes. And thank you for the generous donation, though.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, exactly. And look at this. I've seen it a couple of times now. He's already based. It's an Croatian MEP. They're good people in Croatia. I want to get Tomislav Sunic back on the show,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he's good.
Madev Kulakis, maybe. Something like that. Listen to what he says. Again, subtitle here, but listen to what he said about this. Because again, you know, this is Putin's price hike, as Pelosi said, right? Nothing to do with that, right? It's a little bit about that. I'm not trying to say. But the prices are already manipulated. They were driven up before.
That's right.
They even had, like, there were new deals made for the. In other words, this was speculation based. This was by the gas and oil companies by themselves. Oh, this will probably happen. So they started raising the prices ahead of time. Listen to what he says there. And also, you know, war, how much money it is in this. You know, listen to this.
Poštovane kolege, poštovani građani. Cijene energenata rijetko kada i gotovo nikada ne odgovaraju njihovoj proizvodnoj cijeni i cijeni njihove distribucije. One najviše ovise o geopolitici i započetim ratovima. Mi smo imali gotovo iste cijene benzina i dizela kada je nafta bila $120 po barelu i kada je bila $40 po barelu. Ratovi donose enormnu zaradu nekoj od grupacija u naftnoj industriji. To se dogodilo i sada. Kao što lažne i istinite pandemije donose ogroman profit
right.
farmaceutskoj industriji, tako i ratovi donose ogroman profit energetskoj industriji. Tako će biti danas i tako će biti zauvijek. Jer ratovi se non-stop stvaraju i non-stop izmišljaju. Hvala.
That's a pretty base comment there.
Yep, he said some good things, that guy. He's, so good for him. I'm glad he's there bringing attention to some of this. But yes, absolutely true, right? Still speculation, still being driven up. And as usual, in the same way, they profited off the COVID crisis, right? Completely engineered and manufactured for the most part, brought in the vaccine. Exactly, massive disparities now happening. And again, we've played plenty of clips now. Biden is like, I'm upset that they're like blaming me for inflation or what we're doing. No, it's all Putin's fault. Putin. It's Putin. Putin did this with the gas prices, right? Listen to Nancy here, Nancy Pelosi. Same thing.
We have to address the Putin price hike, gas
freak.
Hike.
Yeah.
It has since he started amassing troops earlier this year, the price at the pump has gone up 75 cents. We're doing everything we can to minimize the Putin price hike at home.
I think it's more than 75 cents Putin by now, too, by the way. Hike. Yeah, the Putin price.
Oh, so they just blame speak it like anything. It's fact.
Of course.
And they're just lying through their teeth. It's amazing.
They can blame anything on this situation, which is amazing. And they did the
like
same
COVID.
With COVID.
Yep.
Exactly the
COVID,
same thing.
COVID. Now it's Russia. Well, I mean, they've been doing Russia forever,
to kill
but
your
now
business.
It's like a whole other level to it.
We had to kill your business because of COVID. You know, it's like we had to protect you. We had to take care of you.
Can't leave your house. COVID.
The Putin price hike, right? How will sanctions against Russia impact the global economy? Economists warn of a downturn in world trade. Yeah, you bet your ass. They go through it here.
Sorry, can't buy a car. Russia.
Yeah, the microchips and steel and fertilizer and like all these things, like supply chain problems, critical food shortages, sanction-driven price spikes, and then blowback because of the sanctions,
Good
which
times.
Is what he talks about. Fears of global recession, like perfect for the Great Reset, perfect to drive everything to a complete standstill.
But again, it's going
to
be fine for all these elites who are meddling and creating this mess because they just got tons and tons of money. They have all these resources. Mm-hmm. They've got their villas everywhere. They'll be fine.
Absolutely. It's not about them. It's about, in fact, this is to call the herd, call the population, global Holodomor, just let them freeze to death while they sit in their luxury bunkers, literally, right, that they're building now, like million-dollar panic rooms and bunkers in deep undergrounds in, like, the Southern Hemisphere somewhere, you know, or out on some yachts, as I said, or something like that. So this is what's happening. Someone sent me this Wednesday. Thank you for that again, by the way. A new world energy order is emerging from Putin's war on Ukraine. Geopolitical shifts are underway as fresh alliances are forged and old grievances inflamed, right? So this basically is the left, the West is being left behind intentionally. And we have the most irresponsible, reckless, maniac leaders in the West that are insane. They're more concerned about teaching blowjobs to fourth graders now than actually ensuring that there's a future for our kids. That's basically where we are. I mean, that is the future for them, I guess. That's what they want, right? But you get the point. Like, it's like they can't, like, look, we might be fucking starving in like 6 months or a year from now. We don't even know what the full consequences of this is. And these idiots in charge, in power, they need to be held accountable and responsible for this. This need to be reversed, these bad policies. This is what I'm saying. Like, we should not be enemies with Russia. We should be on good terms with them. We should have them as a trade partner. Why should we not be on good terms with them, right?
No, it's funny because it's these people that are always talking about peace and unity and all this stuff, and they're the ones that are, like, waging all these wars.
I know.
Who ultimately pays for it?
Yep,
the people.
We do. Our kids will. That's the bottom line, right? Anyway, so we've kind of poured some praise on Putin here, and that's just, he's compared to Western leaders, he's very good, right?
But
this Nazi thing,
God, there's no Nazis anywhere holding any kind of power, political power. This is absurd.
Yeah,
Nazi obsession.
Yeah, so this is the other side of the coin here, the cringe stuff, and the fact, again, I as I've said before, I don't like seeing Ukrainians being targeted. I don't like seeing them being bombed. I don't like seeing the military targeted. Although they, frankly, many of them are being used, and they work for the evil side in a way, right? So here's Putin, right? The banner says, "For a world without Nazism." for Russia, right? And he had some speech. Apparently, they had some technical issues, and the whole event fell apart. And I'm not sure what that was about, but I was looking into that just a little bit.
Nazis did it.
the Nazi thing, and it's kind of or the world without Nazism. Check this out. I put it up on our Telegram. You should follow us there, by the way. I think we're almost at. Oh, we passed it. We're almost at 14,888 subscribers. We passed that, so thank you for that. But anyway, World Without Nazism, right? A Russian political organization with ties to Vladimir Putin's government, which claims to campaign against quote-unquote neo-fascism. The group has also been described by security agencies from the Baltic republics as a Russian propaganda organization and as Kremlin-sponsored Gongo. I gotta click in on that. I don't even know what that is. Which aims to advance Russian foreign policies against former Soviet-occupied countries to promote a Soviet-era approach to World War II. Now, this is, you know, Wikipedia, so you gotta take everything with a grain of salt, but there's still some interesting tidbits in here. The organization was founded and is led by Boris Spiegel, a Russian oligarch with close ties to Putin. It was founded in Kiev, Ukraine, on the 22nd of June, 2010, and is registered, interestingly, in Strasbourg, France. The organization accuses the countries that were formerly part of the communist bloc of rapid Nazification. Yeah, because that's what America and NATO and the West these days are known for.
It should be,
to Nazifying countries. That's,
it should be a world without communism would be more appropriate.
Right. It criticizes the Western European democracies for their alleged role in starting World War II and proposes a common history. Then you look into Boris Spiegel here a little bit.
Oh my God, that photo is literally a meme, right?
Isn't that what it is?
Shut it down.
On the phone, and I
thought
so.
No, shut it down.
It's funny, right? I was like, holy shit, where I've seen that before.
I haven't seen that meme in a long time, but yep, shut it down.
Boris Spiegel, born Kamlinetsky.
Sounds backwards. Like,
Russian language is kind of backwards. I still claim that.
Hey.
Is a Russian politician a businessman? Haaretz describe him as an oligarch who is closely tied to the Kremlin. He was in the Penza Oblast, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of details, blah, blah. In 2010, he founded World Without Nazism, an organization close ties to the Russian government, formed with the to affirm the Russian version of history, particularly in relation to the Soviet occupation of the Baltic states and the Holodomor. You know what that means, then? Oh, it didn't really happen. You know, okay, Ukraine is not a real country. It didn't really happen, the Holodomor. Look, it was Bolshevik. I'm not trying to blame Russia or Russians, but it was Bolsheviks, right? And what majority group was that? Okay. He's also the chairman of the Organization of World Congress of Russian Jewry, an organization that, according to the Jewish Chronicle, works on behalf of the Kremlin.
And I'm sure he's busy on his phone doing all kinds of things, meddling in all sorts of ways.
So that's the other flip side to this. And that's why I'm wholly not just like, yeah, Putin defeat evil empire and stuff.
But,
like,
but
they have an agenda of their own. Yeah. They have their own, you know, things. And look, I'm not sure if it's like easy. Are they using this because they
know it works?
They think that it's going to work
on
the West. Clearly, it doesn't, right? Look, again, there's a lot of people like, oh, well, but Azov, you know, kind of thing is, the Azov, they're Nazis and stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, they're National Socialists. Yes, they're being funded by.
Are they real National Socialists?
Probably, you know, the Bandera thing and stuff.
They're supporting. I mean, if they're such these bad anti-Semites, National Socialists, why are they fighting for Zelensky, who's a Jewish president?
Right, and at least an initial funding. I don't think he currently is funding them. Kolomoisky has injection money there, even the right sector, I believe, right? There's all these kind of questions there. And look, I've said it before, maybe they're just painted into a corner, they're choosing the lesser of two evils, and maybe they think they're going to get out of harm's way after this or something, which I don't think they are. But regardless, the point is, though, with all the obsession about Nazism and stuff from the West, as I said before, they're literally like setting up agencies and new laws, and the organization's going to look into like white supremacy as a world problem.
Yeah, and even Facebook's allowing an allowance for basically praising Nazism when it has to deal with Ukraine. They actually had that. It was leaked out on their company emails.
Yeah. So. Right. No. Of course. And it's just like this idea that there's basically not a single country or organization, or you know, political group, or that won't use the excuse of Nazism, right, to their advantage to target their political and ideological enemies, to crush them, and to advance their own agenda. And I wish it was more honest than that. Again, yes, Azov is there. That you know, it's an issue, but surely Putin must understand that the West is not funding them because they are really Nazis, right? And I've seen this argument, like from many liberal sources and stuff, like, oh, the CIA and Pentagon, that's a bunch of Nazis, right? We've seen this with, like, what's her name? Chrystia Freeland, right, in Canada, that ties with the World Economic Forum. Oh, they're really Nazis, and now it's Nuland and her ties to Ukraine and all these things. And it's like, okay, look, her grandfather might have worked with Bandera or something at one point, but it's like, these people are lunatic liberals for the most part. I mean, in some regards, they don't even care what ideology they will use whatever they need to use to advance their interests, and much of that is to gain control and to make more money and to shit on other people, right?
I think it's kind of part of like that conservative, you know, they're the real fascists, they're the real racists kind of lingo.
Yeah, which is just dishonest and dumb at this point, right? Again, remember Zelensky, and many times now when he talked to the the presidents of major Jewish organizations in the U.S., he argued that this is Hitlerian and Putin is the Nazis, is Nazism, and we it's our moral duty in the West to stop Hitler slash Putin, you know, from like expanding and stuff. We need to go to nuclear war with Russia in order to stop the expansion of Nazism, is the arguments from the other side, right? So this is equally cringe on both sides, and we're just stuck between a rock and a hard place, which a bunch of elites, and in some regards it's ethnically hostile elites, which has nothing in common with us, and they're using all of us
to take a big dump on us. None of this is helping us in the end. No. None of it. Lars Agerbeck says, I think everyone on both sides from all levels of society are putting way too much into age-old ideologies like National Socialism, Communism, Liberalism, etc.
Yeah.
Well, now they're bringing in this global homo ideology.
Yeah, I guess that's new and something new and exciting in the picture, I guess, right? All right, so let me do. We have a couple of more minutes here. We started a bit late. Let me do a couple of these, right? I think generally, as soon and if there is some kind of mediation, and again, we'll probably see Israel in a very prominent role in this. There's a whole other actually religious thing that might come out of that. But as soon and if that happens, unless we go to World War III and we're all dead tomorrow, COVID is going to be wheeled out again at some point, right? It's not going to stop. There's too much goodies in them here, barring that they have a new pathogen that's actually released in Ukraine and they can blame Russia, right?
Well, they just shipped everything that was in those bio labs in Ukraine back to America and other Western countries. So
I thought they destroyed some of it too, though. Quite a bit of it.
Do you really believe they would do that, though? Maybe not in a hurry, but I'm sure they would save some of the choice bits of information that they had there and samples and whatnot.
Yeah. And I think Russia, by the way, was one of the three countries that still had smallpox, right? Remember that? There was some in Siberia. There was some bio-level 4 lab there that still had smallpox samples and stuff, right? But check this out. Jerusalem Post here. Fourth vaccine offers little protection against COVID-19.
You can apply that to the first one, too.
Well, no, of course.
The first one offers no protection against COVID. In fact, it is COVID, and it will make you sick.
But it's funny that they're just open and like honest about that now, anyway. Here's a study. And listen to this. Here's Bourla, right? And again, I covered Wednesday how he's backtracking now. Oh, the mRNA thing. They forced me to. It wasn't really me. It wasn't me.
And then maybe when people start dying, they're going to start blaming it on some other virus. Remember, right? But really, it's the vaccines. That's possible,
of course,
too.
Absolutely. Anything is possible. Or a cocktail or a combination thereof. Or, you know, anything is possible, right? But remember, Bourla got the what they call the Jewish Nobel Prize, the Genesis Prize, for his mRNA vaccine COVID-19 development, right? Or pushing this or being at the forefront of that. And, we played a clip Wednesday in the Week in Warrior show where he said basically, I wasn't really convinced we should have gone that way. And they were just very powerful in convincing me in terms of, you know, it wasn't my deal. But here, look at here. He's still out, though, talking about a fourth dose regardless. Listen to this here.
You've mentioned you are close to filing with the FDA for a fourth dose. Tell us about where the latest on that stands, what the data show.
I think we are going to submit to FDA a significant package of data about the need for a fourth dose, and they need to make their own conclusions, of course, and then CDC also to see it. Clearly, there is a need in an environment of Omicron to boost the immune response. I don't think that we would be a need in Delta. I was thinking always that after the third dose, we will need annual revaccinations. With Omicron, the situation is more challenging, so we may need the fourth dose. But that's something that FDA needs to decide and the CDC needs to recommend. The same is with every other country. Many countries already started recommending a fourth dose, and we will see how the authorities here will think about it.
I love how they go to him. Tell me, how many more? It's like going to the CEO of like McDonald's and asking how many more burgers do we need to?
I know it's insane. Like he's just such an ethical person.
Oh, yeah,
he's not in for the money at all.
No. Of course,
please,
absolutely.
Please. Right. Jimmy Fallon says the Genesis Prize, the genocide prize.
There you go, the genocide prize.
Yeah,
good one, sir. Appreciate that. Fauci on new surge, right? The BA2 variant. Funding for the COVID fight and the possibility of a new surge, right? So he's like, it's coming. Don't not so fast, right? So he spoke with PBS about this. We don't have time to play it now, but folks, it's not over. It's
couple
not
more here.
Yep, go ahead.
I just want to say, Odinland, we are so lucky to have you guys to defend our people. You do a great job. We appreciate it.
Thank you
so much. And I also saw your other one about. Let me scroll up here. Off topic, but have you heard of Baby Cyrus from Boise that was medically kidnapped? I did not. Praying for him to return home. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, it rings familiar, but I can't remember the details of it. Cyrus, I think a baby Cyrus. I think I've heard of that. I'm thinking about the case remember the Texas case too?
Mm-hmm.
The mom and I think the dad didn't want to have him like chemically castrated, and the mom was pushing, and the judges like went through with it, I think.
And then a joke for you here by Shadow Government chimes in. Who is laziest, joggers or drunken Indians? I don't know. What do you guys
think? Who's lazier, joggers or drunken Indians?
I have to launch a study on that, huh? I guess it depends on which tribe, which region of America.
Give me a 1 for joggers and a 2 for, was it lazy Indians? Was that what the wording was? Lazy
yes.
Indians? Okay. That's some good stuff right there. All right, folks, we are going to be wrapping up right there. We're over time a little bit here because we started a bit late and gay. Check out the latest video up on redassmembers.com right now. The Dark and Perverted Roots of Gender Ideology. Pretty good one. So kind of a thorough run through of just how bad it was in the beginning and how it's gone to
some of the stuff
worse,
in there.
Right?
Like when I was researching this, I'm just like, I can't believe that this is mainstream now. And then we just look the other way with this tragic history of where all this gender ideology madness comes from, and the wreckage and the suicide and the child abuse and the just like it's horrific, the sexual abuse of children. And then we're just. Just teaching this in college now, like it's no biggie. It's healthy and it's
all good. Don't worry about it, right? Yep. So tomorrow I'm doing this interview here about the Pentagon bioweapons and the labs and different. Here's a map, right, of some of the different countries, 25 countries where they have them around their strategic enemies and stuff like that. And in regards, frankly, it's also a cooperation kind of across. Across international borders.
Yeah.
This is an international clique that are using all of these things, right? But anyway, so that's coming up tomorrow, and it's going to be up on redassmembers.com first. So if you want to check that out first, check out our members section, because that's a great way to support us as well. We do have a subscribe star. That's subscribestar.com/redice. When you sign up over there, you can just send us a DM or an email, redice@protonmail.com. Let us know you signed up, and we can activate your account. Ultima Power over on Odyssey here, by the way, real quick, says, no money to spare, but I have some Odyssey tokens. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate that. We're kind of you.
Working on some other options as well. There might be a couple alternatives here since, you know, we've been financially blacklisted from payment processors, as you all know. So it's a little harder to sign up, but we do appreciate when you do.
It's not really hard. And guys, you got to step up to the plate.
But
it's
but
just
some
like
people,
one extra step.
Some people find it hard, but, you know, we're on the edge here.
You can always also just, do like a mailing address if it's difficult for you to use any of the other digital means we have or whatever. Entropy, stream.live/redicetv, that's one way, and they do have a subscription option over there as well. The Cash App works. I think that's UK and US. I don't think they've expanded to any other country.
No.
E-check option if you're in the US. And of course, crypto, big on crypto. We'll see what happens. They're trying to destroy it, but I do long-term at least. I am bullish on crypto. And here's our mailing address. So that's always a reliable version. And by the way, just send us an email if you're when you've sent off your letter in the mail. If you want to sign up that way or something, just send us an email. We can activate your account right away, so you don't have to wait for that time. All right. Very good. Awesome. Thank you, guys. We appreciate the support. Thank you to everyone over on Entropy today. Let me just actually check Rumble real quick. I want to make sure we didn't miss any there just in case. I think we're caught up. Thank you, guys. Big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to Jimmy Fallis and Dennis as well. We appreciate you guys. A couple of other ones of you there as well. Northfork, B, Dog Whistler, Flying Dutchman. We appreciate all of you guys. Cuckfree Zone and Billy Biz, some of the big donors over on Entropy. All right, guys, we'll be back with more here. What is it? Sundays? No, actually, we'll see. I think I'll get that up right away, by the way, the Pentagon Bioweapon Show. I think I'll try to get that up as soon as possible. But if and for some reason we need to do post-production on it, it will be up probably around the time of the Weekend Warrior Show or maybe before.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Yeah, have a great one. Thank you again. Let me find my outro. There we go. We'll see you later. Take care. Bye.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.